time runs out. And Iowa State wins it over Baylor, 72-69.
Woo! What a game that was on Saturday at Hilton Coliseum as Iowa State escapes Baylor, 72-69. You heard John Walters with the final call there. And John joins us now. John, thanks so much for being here. Boy, what a game. Like, take us inside Hilton Coliseum on Saturday where that was just a Big 12 slugfest.
Yeah, really impressed with Baylor, the way they came in ready to play, shorthanded. Dan Skilling's out of their lineup, and they're really not a deep team to begin with. So for them to come in and, you know, really trade punches with Iowa State on their home floor on a whiteout day, I thought they played really, really well. But, you know, Iowa State really tightened the screws defensively in the second half, got that lead up to 15, and then held on for dear life at the end. But I think for the first 18 minutes of that second half, Iowa State can't play much better defense than that. And that's really what separated that game and allowed them to get out and get a lead that they could hang on and win it. So fifth straight win, season sweep over Baylor. You'll take that any time against the Scott Drew coach team. And so really good win on their home floor. And Iowa State's managed to protect the home floor all season. That'll really be put to the test this coming week with Kansas and then Houston coming in next Monday. But it's been great to see them protect that home floor and be undefeated at home this season.
You know, one thing that stood out to me, John, was Baylor, as much as Iowa State's defense offered pressure like it most always does, Baylor only turned it over 9 times, and Iowa State still found a way to win this game. I think if I'm someone who's watching Iowa State incredibly close, I go, okay, now that really catches my attention, because we know how great Iowa State is when it's turning teams over and turning that into offense. They had to work for their offense, they had to work for their defense, and they still won.
Yeah, I think T.J. Altzelberger said it well after the game. This is a team that can find a lot of different ways to win. And yes, they came into the game as the second best, you know, 3-point shooting team in the country. They didn't shoot the three well that day. They, you know, didn't turn over their opponent as much as they're used to doing. You mentioned it, Baylor, you know, with a smaller lineup, a lot of guard-oriented type of style, they really took care of the ball and handled it well. They made some really tough shots, contested shots, especially early in the game. And, you know, statistically, there's not something that just jumps off the page at you and say, well, Iowa State dominated this or dominated that. They just kind of gutted it out. And I think Taman Lipsey was right at the heart of all of that. I mean, the number of plays he made where he just was putting his body out there and diving on the floor, I don't know that I've ever seen anything like it. It's just amazing what this guy does. His knack for where the ball is headed and his willingness to go get it, even when the odds look completely stacked against him being the first guy to get there. And I thought it was interesting, you know, just talking to Taman this morning at media availability, he said that, you know, when he was on the under-16 USA basketball tryout, he looked around and saw a bunch of guys who are now playing in the NBA that he was trying out against. And he thought to himself, I'm not the most talented player here. If I'm going to stand out, I'm going to have to find some other way to do it than just being the most talented guy. And so he decided, you know, nobody was going to out-hustle him. He was going to dive for every loose ball, get extra possessions for his team, and make himself so valuable that they couldn't cut him. And that's exactly what happened. And that's pretty much the way he's played his whole career at Iowa State. And so I think if any one guy defines that victory over Baylor on Saturday, it's Taman Lipsey.
Yeah, he had a really nice game. And, you know, as much as, you know, Taman's not a lottery pick and Killian Torre probably not going to end up being a lottery pick, you know, I think if you gave everybody truth serum in the Big 12, they'd tell you, man, we can't stand having to play against that backcourt duo of Killian Torre and Taman Lipsey.
No, there's no doubt about that. I love the way Jake Dulles put it a year ago. I thought his line was just perfect. He said, Iowa State's no fun to play against. You know, he said, nobody walks out of a game against Iowa State saying, man, that was fun. I'd like to go do that again. And you know, it is the relentless pressure, not only defensively, but that's where it all starts for sure, but also offensively. When you think about how well Iowa State offensive rebounds and how demoralizing that is for opponents. And Taman was at the heart of that, going and getting great offensive rebounds. I mean, in situations where you thought he had no chance of getting there. You know, you're talking about a team that's one of the top shooting teams in college basketball. They shoot 51.3%, Iowa State does. That's on pace for a school record. And so when you defend them well and you do get them to miss a shot, it can be very demoralizing when they tip dunk it or tip it back out and get a three or just grab it and reset their offense, and you got to go do it all over again. And yeah. So I think they wear you down that way offensively, and I think they wear you down defensively. And again, when you look at those two things, who's at the heart of it all? Taman and Killian. And they're both excellent offensive rebounders. Iowa State's one of the rare teams that sends two guards to the offensive glass. They do it every time. And those guys get a bunch of them. And I just think those extra possessions that Iowa State gains, whether it's via turnovers or offensive rebounds, really take a toll on opponents over 40 minutes. And those two guys are at the heart of it.
John Walters, Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice, our guest on this Monday edition of The Drive. The Cyclone men back in action tomorrow night at TCU. We'll talk about that matchup with John in just a minute. John, I did want to mention, I thought Nate Heisey had a nice game against Baylor, and we've talked about Nate before, but, I mean, talk about a guy who's as comfortable in his role and aware of all the different ways that he can offer value to the team. His ability to, you know, put the ball on the floor and get a defense to collapse and create for the offense or make a back cut when Josh Jefferson's getting double-teamed or Meehlin's getting double-teamed and finish above the rim, or sometimes he's able to help from the perimeter when defenses are crashing and offer more from the three-point line than Iowa State already knows it can count on. It's one thing to have a bench guy who does one or two things well, but Nate does a lot of things well.
Yeah, he's such an important piece of the puzzle for Iowa State. And when he's making shots, which now that it's February he is, 4 for 17 from 3 in January, 5 for 9 so far in February. Last year, 1 for 14 in January, 19 to 33 the rest of the way. So it just took the calendar flipping for him to get some shots to fall. But he's been really, really good, especially the last three games. I think he's just really understands his role. And his role is exactly what you said. Do whatever's necessary to win. And he's a guy with no ego. He doesn't care if he scores or not. I mean, TJ does. He wants him to score more. He wants him to keep looking for his shot. But he just wants to win games. And that's very evident in the way he plays. It's pretty cool that his sister Taylor scored a goal against Finland the same day that he scored 8 points against Baylor. And so, really, really cool that he's having such a great senior year. You know, he came back for that extra year, and I think it's really proven to be beneficial for him and for Iowa State, certainly. He's one of the most valuable sixth men off the bench in the Big 12 Conference.
How about TCU tomorrow night? It's a road game. You look at TCU's schedule, they've beat Baylor twice, and there's enough close games there, John, where you don't have to squint hard and go, man, TCU could easily be like 17-6. Instead of 14-9.
Without a doubt. I mean, they beat Florida, which I think is one of the teams that can win the national championship again. They beat Wisconsin. You know, they should have beaten Michigan, or at least had a great chance to. They absolutely should have won in Allen Fieldhouse. Yep. I mean, they had a 14-15-point lead late in that game and somehow lost it. And I think that one really derailed them. They lost four in a row at that point, that being the first one. And I think it kind of knocked them off their skis a little bit. But, you know, since then they've recovered. They've won three of their last five, and they've had some good wins in there. This is a game for them where they're looking at it as, wow, we're trying to get ourselves onto the NCAA tournament bubble.
Yeah.
Nothing would do that more than beating a top five team on our home floor. So they're going to be absolutely geared up. Very well coached. Jamie Dixon, excellent coach. And they're going to be fired up with that big old target coming in on Iowa State's back to really have a great home court advantage and try to pull off a tremendous win. And so Iowa State's going to have to be ready, man. I mean, this is one where you are going to have to – everybody's looking at Kansas and Houston coming up. Yeah, top 10 opponents coming into Hilton Coliseum later on this week. I get it. But this is one that you better not look ahead, because this is a very, very dangerous team and a very, very dangerous game. And for them, this could be the deal breaker for their season. This could be the one that puts them on the hump again to get into the NCAA tournament. So you better be ready for their best shot tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a great point. Reminds me of the matchup with Kansas earlier this year where they needed a signature win, dig your heels in kind of win. Hey, quickly on Iowa State women's basketball, 5-game win streak. They've really been impressive in how they ultimately adjusted to life without Addie Brown. And then I think just a little, it was just a little earlier this afternoon, John, that Coach Finley spoke to some possible optimism on an Addie Brown return at some point.
Well, that'd be great. I didn't get a chance to hear that interview, but I sure hope that's the case. That would be fantastic. Super excited to get her back eventually. I mean, she's such a valuable piece of the puzzle. But, man, the way those other players have figured out how to play without her has just been impressive. And it took a while. I mean, Iowa State lost five games in a row, and I think a lot of people started writing them off. And now they've just flipped the page and, you know, won five in a row. And it's very, very impressive the way they've handled it. And I think in this little five-game winning streak, a lot of other players have realized they can't just depend on Audie Crooks to do everything. They've got to contribute in one way or another, whether it's making shots, making great passes, being great defensively. I think a lot of other players have stepped up, and that's really been at the heart of Iowa State's five-game winning streak.
John, great stuff. Have a great call tomorrow night at TCU. Appreciate your time as always. Take care.
Thanks, Cole. Appreciate you having me.